Bethany Baptist Church
would like to welcome all to attend the Spiritual Revival Missions Conference being held September 15th through September 22nd with the theme Empowering Future Generations for Global Missions. Please plan to join us for spiritually uplifting praise and worship, inspirational missionary testimonies about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and anointed speakers that will minister the word of God. For more information, please go to our website, bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Biblical Fasting as a Weapon from our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Biblical Fasting as a Weapon.
Her name is Sabrina Black, and you know, I'm on this committee where we plan the Biblical Counseling Conference in Philadelphia. And I remember when they picked us up from the airport in the van, and we were talking. And then usually it was, we have a meeting in March. And so she had fasted 2 months from all media. I said, now, wait a minute, sister. You mean to tell me you haven't opened an email in 2 months? She said, nope. You haven't, for 2 months. And this is a busy lady. I mean, she is a busy lady. And then she began to tell me about how that, you know, just her time with God had just been enhanced. And just as she, you know, as she was sitting there talking about it, I was getting mad at her. Because I said, I can't do that. 2 months? She fasted from all media. Why? Because she had this desire to just get in touch with God. And give something up that was a part of her. Give something up that was meaningful to her. Give something up that she was attached to in order that she might get a hold of God. And so as you consider a fast, maybe it's something that you are overly attached to. You know, maybe playing games. You know, some of young people, you couldn't go a day. You couldn't even go a half a day without playing the video game. You are so attached to that. And maybe a good suggestion for young people, you know, a lot of the literature that I was reading as it was talking about fasting, you know, it said that, you know, it's probably not best for kids to fast, you know, food and water, even though it said they can. It said it's probably not best. But it said that one of the things, they can fast from the video games. You know, I'll tell you what. Now, you talking about having a rebellion in your home? Tell your kids, or tell your husband not to play. No, just kidding. Is my life out of balance? There may be some areas in your life where you are spending too much time, or there may be areas in your life where you are not spending enough time. So, you know, sit down and consider. Maybe there's some fast that you need to do, some things that you're just spending too much time with, unproductive time, unfruitful time. You know, it says that the average person watches about 6 to 10 hours of television a day. The average person. Now, most of that TV watching, what is it? Is it productive? Is it fruitful? You mean to tell me that you can't let that go in order to get more God? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, you notice I'm pointing at y'all, right? I'm pointing at y'all, right? One, two, three. Coming back at me. All right. So I'm just saying, you know, man, when we get serious and when we get hungry for a relationship with God, you know, there are some things that we can let go very easy. I'm back to the brochure now. Back to the brochure. Fasting should involve afflicting the soul. When Ezra proclaimed a fast and the people afflicted themselves, this meant they made themselves uncomfortable in order to demonstrate an earnestness of spirit in seeking God's guidance. That a fast, it should not be comfortable. That there should be some uncomfortableness about a fast. You know, that there should be some, I mean, a lot, I guess I'm just confessing all today, right? You know, a lot of times when you get ready to fast, you know, you start thinking about, well, let me make sure I eat this, this, and this before. You make sure you get all, you know, listen to me, I'm going to eat some pizza, and I'm going to have me some wings before I fast, right? It should be some affliction of the soul. Another concept is that the fasting should involve giving to the poor. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 58. Let's go back to Isaiah 58. Fasting should involve some giving to the poor. Verses 6 and 7. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, and to undo the heaviness of burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover them, and thou shalt not hide thyself from thy own flesh. So this one, if you look back in the notes, Samuel Miller, he put out this little pamphlet on fasting, and I took this from here. He says this: surely there are few things more reasonable and becoming than that. While we are engaged in mourning over our sins and confessing our unworthiness of least of our comforts, we should practically show mercy to others as the Heavenly Father has done to us. This is the time to devise plans of mercy and benevolence to feed the hungry and clothe the naked. So in your fast, you should look for somebody to bless. Maybe somebody that's less fortunate than you are. And see how you can minister to them during the time of fasting. Fasting should definitely include a time of prayer. And again, if I was you, now, I'm making the suggestion. I'm not telling you what to do. If I was you, you know, I wouldn't fast when I looked at my schedule and see that my whole day is packed. You know, even if I have to go to work, if I fast lunch, then that time that I would have spent eating, I should spend time with the Lord in prayer. And you know, if I have some other time where I'm able to get alone instead of maybe taking a water break or a cooler break or a coffee break, that I'm because I'm fasting, you know, I want to do things different. You know, I don't want to just go and let it be business as usual, but I want to spend some time, you know, with the Lord, even if it's just 15 minutes. You know, you don't have to spend hours and hours, you know, for God to hear you. Peter was walking on the water, and when he started to sink, he said, "Lord, save me." Jesus heard him that fast. So you don't need a whole bunch of time. Even though I think it's good, if you can spend, the more time you can spend, the better. But I would take that time that I would normally have been eating, that time I would have normally been watching television, that time I normally would have been playing the video games, and I would use that time in prayer. Fasting should include time in the Word and worshiping. So you can read that. I'm moving on. Why should a person fast? Why should a person fast? First, to show sincerity to God in desiring him to answer your prayer. Ezra 8:21. Secondly, to seek God's wisdom and protection when going through a crisis. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3 and 12, and Esther 4:16. Jesus fasted at the beginning of his public ministry to consecrate himself unto the Lord. To gain power for ministry. If you are serving in a ministry and you want God to anoint that ministry, you want God to pour his blessings out on that ministry, that you can incorporate a fast. We already talked about this. To break the yokes of bondage in the life of a person. To discern God's will about a particular situation. Jonah called a fast because he wanted the people of Nineveh to repent. You can call a fast to intercede for another person. Remember when David had that baby with Bathsheba and the baby got sick? And what did David do? He began to fast for the baby. He began to fast and pray for that little baby. And so we can fast for God to intercede in the lives of other people and then to show humility before God. The psalmist fasted to show how he was nothing before the Lord. And Lord, I just throw myself out on your mercy. What are the results of fasting? And let's look at Acts 13. What are the results? Because there's the corporate results and then there's the personal results. The corporate results and the personal results of fasting. Acts chapter 13. First of all, it brings the church together in the spirit of prayer. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, he was from a country in Africa, and Lucius of Cyrene, he was from another place in Africa, and Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So look, there were all kinds of different backgrounds. But when they fasted, it brought them together in the spirit of prayer. Then we see it unifies the church around a specific purpose. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I have called them." So they were unified in what? Seeking the Lord. They came together to seek God's will and to hear from him. So it unified the church around who are we going to send out for missionaries? Let us come and pray to see who the Holy Spirit will speak to us about. And then number three, when the body fasts, it yields results. It yields results. Verse 3. And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And we don't even need to talk about what happened after that. Paul was accused after this of what? Turning the whole world upside down. He was accused of turning the whole world upside down. Going everywhere telling people about this man named Jesus Christ. It was powerful, the fruit of it. You know how Promise Keepers, a men's movement, got started years ago, and they had events in stadiums all over the country. One of the ways that they got started was Bill McCartney, who was a football coach in Colorado, at a college in Colorado. He asked his players every day to come, and instead of having lunch, to fast. And they would fast and pray instead of eating lunch. And as a result of that, one of the most powerful men's movement within the last 50 years came out of that. And so fasting yields results. And you can see the power of God in fasting. What are personal results? Cleansing of the soul, victory over the flesh, righteous living, God meeting the need, greater sensitivity to the voice of God, sharper insight into spiritual matters, discipline, and power in spiritual warfare. These are some of the personal results. And then what kind of fasts are there? Private, public, congregation, national fasts. What are some dangers in fasting? What are some dangers in fasting? Again, I'm moving through some of this information pretty quick, but you have, that's why I wanted you to have it, so that when you leave, you can go back and review it. What are some dangers? The wrong motives. Wrong motives. The prophet Isaiah addressed the people of his day who were fasting with wrong motives. In Isaiah 58:4, some were fasting for strife. In the Hebrew word, rib means a contest. They were trying to have a contest. Who can outfast the other one? How long can you stay on your fast? I stayed on my fast for 3 weeks. Man, you stopped when you was on 2 weeks. You're not as spiritual as I am. So some people were fasting for a contest and debate, and then some people were fasting for argument and quarrel. Well, you know what? I believe that we should fast with no food and water. Well, no, you know what? No, you need to drink water. Well, I believe that, we should fast. And they start arguing about, whose way was right to fast. So If you can't fast with the wrong motives. Secondly, hypocrisy. You can't be a hypocrite when you fast. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites Because what did they do when they fast? They changed their hour. Oh, man, I haven't eaten anything all day. I'm fasting for the Lord. I'm fasting for God. And, why are you so sad? Why you look? Oh, man, I'm fasting, man. And they were hypocrites. They were hypocrites. Jesus said, when you fast, wash your face. Put some Afro sheen in your hair. Comb it out. Don't appear unto men as to fast. All right? Don't be a hypocrite when you fast. And then pride, publican and Pharisee. They went up into the temple. Pharisee said, I'm not like this publican. I give tithes of all I have. I read my Bible, and I fast twice a week. You know, so what was it? Pride. You know, don't fast in pride. So, you know, these are some things that we need to consider. Going back to the second sheet, the additional consideration for fasting. I hope I'm answering all your questions. Putting God on the throne of your life. Fasting should be done in the attitude of putting God on the throne of your life. And if he's already there, then lifting him up a little higher. Then lifting him up a little higher. That, you know, God, when I fast, Lord, I'm giving something up because I want more of you. I want more of you. God, when I fast, I'm giving up this because I want more of you. I want you to be on the throne of my life. Fasting should not be legalistic, but it should be spirit-led. Again, consult with your physician. Consider things in your life that may benefit from fasting. Now, what are suggested time for prayer? I did a whole booklet on prayer and how to structure your prayer life. So if you want that, you just let me know, and I can email you a copy of the prayer. We go through praise, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession, hearing, worshiping. We go through all how to have a powerful prayer time. So if you need that, let me know. Some things to abstain from other than food. You see those things here. And we already talked about that. Ways to substitute prayer instead of eating a meal, prayer instead of watching television, prayer instead of being in front of a screen, praise instead of eating a meal, praise and worship instead of watching television, praise and worship instead of being in front of a screen. What is the attitude of the heart when you fast? Fast with a joyful countenance. Jesus said, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward the openly. And so, you know, I covered a lot of information this morning on fasting. So now back to the sheet here. Happy New Year, Bethany. And, you know, this is for you. This is, now you don't have to turn this in. But we're asking the church to join us in this fast, however the Spirit of God would lead you. And as you fast, remember the things. We're asking for anointing, renewal upon the ministries of Bethany and the members of Bethany and the stewardship campaign, which has the building component and the discipleship component. Those are the things. Now, if there's other things in your life that you need to fast for, go ahead and do that. But as you fast corporately with us, those are the things that we are asking for. And you know, here we have at the bottom a reminder for you. You can fill that out to be reminded of when you're going to fast. Now, we do have a calendar back at the usher's table, and if you want to sign to let us know that you're fasting with us, then that's fine. What day that you will feel led to fast? I know some of you, since you just heard the message today, you might not be prepared to sign up or sign up for a day. That's all right. You can sign up when you come next week as you seek the Lord. And if you say, well, the Spirit is not leading me to put my name down, well, that's fine too. All right. You know, we're not, again, you know, we want it to be the Lord's fast. And we don't want people doing stuff because we said this is what you should do. I want you to do it because this is what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. But I am asking that as you pray for the church, that we do have specific things that we are praying for. And so I'm asking, you know, the only thing that I'm asking is that you pray when you do fast, you know, for those things that we have identified. Other than that, you move and you go as you feel led. And then I thought about this, a prayer at the end. And it's all based on scripture. Father, let my soul cry out for you like my body craves food and water. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where is no water. Psalm 63:1. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts, the house, the presence of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. You know what, especially if you fast food and water, what does your body start doing? Crying out for food, crying out for water. So you let your soul, instead of crying out for that, cry out for God. Instead of letting your soul cry out for your cell phone, let it cry out for God. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you, no, you watch and see. Some of you can't put that phone down. You can't put it down, all right? Because it's going to be crying out. My soul's going, who's calling me? Oh, what email do I have? Oh, who sent me Instagram? Oh, did somebody text me? Right? Crying out. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Crying out. And does our soul cry out for God like that? See, I'm saying that it don't have to be food. Yo, it's going to be a bigger struggle for some people who's not doing food. Who's not doing food, right? And if you just feel half a day, maybe a half a day, just fast for half a day for whatever it is that God leads you to. But let your soul cry out for him in the fast. Let us pray. Father, we come to you today. And Lord, we thank you because I know even though I just have to be honest before you, this is something that I struggle with. And Lord, something that I resisted. And as I told the congregation, I didn't save the best for last. I saved what I didn't want to do until last. And so, Lord, you know our hearts. But Lord, I pray that for myself, and for others in the Bethany family, that we would be genuine in whatever we felt led or whatever we feel led to do during this time of fasting. And Lord, even as we go back and look at the personal benefits of fasting and we see all those things that can happen in our life, Lord, because we have embarked on a fast, the cleansing of the soul, the victory over the flesh, righteous living, God meeting the need, greater sensitivity to the voice of God, sharper insight into spiritual matters, discipline and power in spiritual warfare. Lord, we understand that even from a personal standpoint, Lord, we can benefit. How much more as a church, as we come together this month of January to call upon your name, to come before you and ask you, Lord, to guide and direct us in this fast. And so, Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that has never received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, if there's someone here today that's looking for a church home, a place to worship, and this is the place that you have led them, Father, I pray that you would guide and direct them to come at this time. Father, we commit this invitation to you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the start of a new series titled More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Biblical Fasting as a Weapon, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Biblical Fasting as a Weapon. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Biblical Fasting as a Weapon. Or call us at 877-831-5060 and request our series, The Weapons of Our Warfare. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.